The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Pe Gimal. Today's daf is being studied by Anun Shmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Pe Gimal Amud Rishon on the second line. The Mishnah said, Chole Ma'achilin Oto Alpi Bekiin. We learned in our Mishnah that a person that is sick on Kippur, you can feed him with the consent of Bekiin, which means expert doctors. When the doctors tell him that he has to eat, Bekiin implies two, and therefore he's able to eat. It should be pointed out that the Mishnah concluded and said, if there's no Bekiin, then already you can feed him al piatzmo, then you can feed him according to his own estimation. Amar Rabbi Yanai. So now we learn two teachings from Rabbi Yanai. Number one, Chole Omer Tzarich. The sick guy says, I need it. Meaning he knows that he needs to eat. He feels that he's in Sekana. Verofe Omer. But the doctor comes along and says, Eno Tzarich. The doctor says, no, you don't need. So it's his word against the doctor. Shomein Lachole. You listen to the patient. My ta'ama. Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Lev Yodea Marat Nafsho. A person knows his own bitterness. Nobody knows a person's own bitterness more than himself. So if he's saying that he's sarich. So the Gemara says, Peshita. What do you mean? It's obvious. If he's saying he needs it, I mean, he knows what he feels. So Gemara says, Mao detema rofe kim letafek. Maybe you say, well, he's going up against the doctor. Maybe the doctor knows more than he knows. So maybe you think you go with the expertise of the doctor. Kamash ma'alad? No. That when the guy says that he needs, you give him. So that's the first case of Rabbi Yanai. Now we get to the second case. Rofe omer sarich. The rofe, the doctor says, you have to eat. Sarich. Vehole omer eno sarich. But the patient says, I'm okay. I don't have to eat. Shuma'in le rofe. Again, in this case, you listen to the doctor that's telling you, eat. My ta'ama. So what's the reason? Meaning, the patient knows what he's saying. The patient says, I don't need. Gemara says, no. Tunba hu denakitle. Tunba meaning from his sickness, he became delirious. And therefore, he doesn't know what he's saying. I mean, you can't trust a sick patient to make a proper assessment of his situation. So therefore, you take the doctor. So basically, Rav Yanai's two rules are, is you always go with the one that says sarich. Whether it's the patient that says sarich against the doctor, or whether it's the doctor that says sarich against the patient. Kav Gemara says, we have a Mishnah. Tenan, we learned in our Mishnah, Chole, Ma'akilin Oto Alpi Bekiin. That you feed the patient according to the consent of what? Two doctors. So the Gemara makes a diuk, Bekiin. Alpi Bekiin in. Only because you have the consent of what? Two. Al pi atzmo, lo. But the diuk is that if it's only his own, himself, so you don't trust him. What do you mean? But Rav Yanai said that if the chole says sarich, right, you give him. What do you mean? Al mishnas mash, but if the only time you give the patient to eat is if you have two doctors saying it. So that's the first contradiction from Al mishnah against Rav Yanai's statement. Second contradiction, al pi biki'in in. Furthermore, even when we do give him consent, it's only with the consent of Biki'in, which is two doctors. Al-Pi Baki Ehad, lo. But one doctor, no. Which means in the second statement of Rav Yanai, what did he say? The Rofe Ted Sarich. It's one doctor. One doctor saying Sarich, you tell the patient to Cholet, eat. What do you mean? Amishnah said that you need the consent of two doctors. So therefore the Mishnah poses a double problem against both statements of Rav Yanai. Number one, it's masma that only doctors can give consent, not the patient himself. And furthermore, it's mashma that it's got to be two doctors and not one. So the Gemara says, "Hacha b'mayaskinan." What's the case in the Mishnah? The Amar lo sarichna, which means the case is where the patient himself, in the case of our Mishnah, where we're saying that the doctors come along and say, "You got to eat." Because the patient is saying, I don't need. So first learn the case in which, the first case in Mishnah where it says, Chole, ma'achilin oto al pi biki'in. It's a case where the Chole says, lo tzarich, I don't have to eat. And therefore the Mishnah says what? You have two doctors, experts, to come along and say, eat. Now hold it. That still poses a problem. Why? Ve'lisfule al pi baki. Wait, according to Rav Yanai, all you need is one doctor to give the consent. He says, I understand what you did. You learned the case of the Mishnah where the guy is saying, no tzarich, I don't need. Okay, good. But the Mishnah is saying you don't need, but you need the consent of two doctors. Why? According to Rav Yanai, even one doctor is enough. So the Gemara says, no, you know what the case is? Lo tzaricha de'ika acharina bahadeh. Besides the patient saying lo tzarich, he has another doctor with him that's also saying the amar lo tzarich. So now you have really two that are saying lo tzarich, the chole with another doctor. So then, in order to get consent, you're going to need two biki'im. According to Rav Yanai's case, it was one against one. When it comes to the patient's word, lo tzarich, and the doctor says tzarich, one against one, you go with the doctor. But our Mishnah is talking about a case where not only the patient said lo tzarich, there was somebody else with the patient that also confirmed lo tzarich. Oh, then in order to feed the patient, the Mishnah says you need two biki'im, two experts. So the Gemara says, ma'achilin oto al pi biki'im. So therefore, why you feed him, with the consent of the two expert doctors? So Gemara says, Peshita. Of course, Sefek Nefashotu. V'Sefek Nefashot Akel. Isn't it obvious? Which means now we have, this is the issue of here, the man's life is on the line. So you have a question. You have two guys saying, Lo Tzarich. You have expert doctors saying, Tzarich. Do I need a Mishnah to tell me that you side on the side of caution? Of course, all we have is a situation of Pikuah Nefesh over here. The man's life is on the line. Of course you have to go with the doctors that are going to tell him. What is the point of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says a Hiddush. Lo tzericha de'ika tre acharini bahadeh. You don't only have one doctor confirming Lo tzarich, you actually had two. Which means altogether you had three people that are saying the chole himself plus two lo tzarich, the amre lo tzarich. Oh, now comes this. You have three on the lo tzarich, and you have two biki'in saying tzarich. Oh, now we have to analyze the amar ve'afagav the amar of safra. Now, even though Rav Safra taught us tre kemea umea ketre, meaning when it comes to testimony in a betting, two witnesses are like 100 witnesses, and 100 witnesses are like two witnesses. Which means there's no difference once you get to two. So already that's the strongest amount. So over here, technically, the fact that you have three on this side, three is like 100. The fact that you have two on the other side, two is like, which means the chavra, it's all the same. Oh, hani mili le'anyan edut. Only we say that numbers don't make a difference past two. That's only by testimony. But when it comes to making an assessment, which means, for example, a person owes money. Okay? So they have to make an assessment how much his property is worth. So you have to go now and make a shuma, that they call it. You have to start analyzing what his value is. Bitre de'ot, batar de'ot azlinan. Then you do count opinions. Which means then already three is three. And two is two. Which means, let's say you have three come along to make the assessment, say it's worth $1,000. Right? And two come along and say, no, it's worth $500. You go with the three, because the three are the majority in number. So in Edut, 100, 102 is equal. In Umdina, in assessments, then already you go according to the numbers. But that's only on an assessment of money. But when it comes to an assessment that has life and death, even though you have three that are saying he doesn't need, the chidush is you go with the two doctors. Again, isn't this an umdah? It's not a testimony. This is an umdah. What are we doing? We're making an assessment. Does the man need to eat or not? It's a judgment call. What's the rule by umdina cases? You go with the majority of opinions. Correct? Which is when you're making the umdina by mamonot. Don't you go with majority opinions? You got three that assess it one way and two assess it another way. You go with the three. Oh, so umdina, you go with opinions. I might have thought, well, I got the patient plus two other guys that are saying he doesn't need. I got the opinion of only two doctors that are saying he needs. Well, according to the rule of umdina, go with the three. Or you go with opinions, you go with de'ot. Kamashvan the Mishnah, no. Here you have an issue of life over here. When it comes to life, even though we have three on one side, you go with the two experts. So therefore, if you're going back to read our Mishnah, very important how to read the Mishnah when you're learning it. But when you read the first case of the Mishnah that says, Chole ma'achilin oto al biki'in, you have to read into the case. It's a chole that says, Lo tzarich. You have two other guys with him that confirm and say, Lo tzarich. Then you gotta go with biki'in, with two expert doctors that come along and say, Eat, sarich. And the hadush of the Mishnah is that even though this is an umdina, and even though normally by umdinas you go with opinions, and therefore the chari should go with the opinions of the three, kamash walan, this is a case of safik nefashot, therefore safik nefashot, like if you have to go with the opinions of the doctors, therefore you go with the two doctors, that's the case. Comes the Gemara and says, hold it. The second case of the Mishnah was, v'im en sham biki'in, if there was not expert doctors there, ma'achidin oto al pi atzmo. So then you feed him, according to his own testimony. Now, that's obviously a case of where the patient is saying tzarich, right? You feed him on his own opinion. Now, the Mishnah's mashma is all one case. Meaning, if you have experts, you go with the experts. If you don't have experts, you go with him. Now, this is mashma michlal deresha de amar tzarich. It's not that the whole case of the Mishnah is talking where the patient is saying tzarich, and therefore the problem, because then it comes out that according to the beginning of the Mishnah, when the patient says tzarich, you need two doctors to come along and say lo tzarich, which means the first case chole machirin oto al pi biki'in. It's mashma that what's the case? The chole is saying tzarich, which is even the resha is talking about tzarich. And what would the case be? Look at Rashi. Michlal, the resha amar tzarich vafidu haki ketani manitin al pi biki'in in al pi atzmo lo. Meaning you don't take his opinion. It's mashma from according to this then. I mean, he could say tzarich, nothing. Your opinion means nothing. We need biki'im to say tzarich. Now that would be going against the opinion of Rabbi Yanai, because Rabbi Yanai clearly taught us what, that if the patient says tzarich, right? Even if the doctor says lo tzarich, you feed him. But from our Mishnah, from the sefer of our Mishnah, it's mashma that the case is what, if you don't have biki'im, you listen to him. I mean, because he says tzarich. That's because you don't have doctors. But what? Same case. If you had doctors, you got to go with the doctors. Meaning, his tzarich means nothing. You got to go with the experts. So the Mishnah all is talking about tzarich. The Mishnah is actually missing some words. You got to read in. When did we say the first case in the Mishnah? That what? The case is talking where the patient said, the chole said, lo tzarich. Then you feed him al yedeh. Biki'im, right? Ve'amar lo tzarich ani. Aval, but amar tzarich ani. If the patient said tzarich ani, en sham biki'im tre elahad. Ve'amar lo tzarich ma'achidin oto al pi atzmo. Meaning like this. The Mishnah at the end is saying like this. If the patient says tzarich, and you don't have two experts, meaning you have one expert, then already machilin oto. But if you had two experts saying no, you go with the experts. So it comes out, according to this version, the Mishnah reads as follows. Case number one, chole machilin oto al pi biki'in. Meaning the chole says, lo tzarich,
Right? You have two expert doctors that come along and say tzarich, you gotta go with the doctors. And the Hiddush is talking about what? That even though you have three altogether that are saying tzarich, the patient plus two more, right? And you only have two expert doctors that are saying tzarich, and normally the umdenaz you go with opinions, here you go with the doctors, because it's a case of pikuach nefesh. That's a case of lo tzarich. Aval, in the case of tzarich, then already machirin oto al pi atzmo, because why? There's no biki'in, because there's no two. Because there's one. When it's one against one, the patient says tzarich, the doctor says lo tzarich, that's exactly what Rabbi Yannai said. But it comes out according to this Gemara, that if the patient says tzarich, and two doctors say lo tzarich, you don't listen to the patient. And that's what we do, Yaakov Rabbi Yannai. Because Rabbi Yannai clearly said, his lashon was, chole omer tzarich, rofe omer eno tzarich. Rofe means one doctor. So that's the key note that you have to remember in this first version of the Gemara. That when the patient says tzarich, and two doctors come along and argue with him, you go with the doctors. And that's what the end of the Mishnah is saying. The end of the Mishnah says that if there's no biki'in, meaning if there's no two doctors, then ma'achilim if ne'atzmo. But if there's two doctors, even if he says tzarichani. That the Gemara says another opinion. Lord, Barabbas she'amar, kol echa de'amar tzarichani afilu ika me'ah. The Amri lo tzarich ledide shamayinan. Shnei emar lev yodeya marat nafsho. More baravash is no. When the patient, when the chole says, "I need to eat," I don't care if there's 100 doctors on the other side that say lo tzarich lev yodeya marat nafsho. A man knows his own plight. A man knows his own bitterness more than anybody else, and therefore you follow the chole. Oh, but what do you mean? How are you going to learn our Mishnah? Tenan, in en sham biki'in, ma'achilin oto al pi atzmo. Right? The patient says sarichani. So the Mishnah says, if you don't have two against him, you listen to him. Mashma wat tamad ileka biki'in. Ha'ika biki'in? No. Mashma, if you had two doctors biki'im arguing against him, you go with the doctors. Oh, that's against Mubarak Bashir. How does he learn the safe of the Mishnah? So he says a novel interpretation of the Mishnah. Hachik Amar. Bamet evarim amunim da'amar lo tzarich ani. First case of the Mishnah is lo tzarich. Right? Lo tzarich, then already you go with the machilim oto al yedei bikim. If you have two doctors that say tzarich, you listen to the doctors. Aval omer tzarich ani. But once the patient says, I need, en sham bikim klal. Machilim oto al piyaf. Smoch nemal lo yedei al which means when it says en biki'im, it means the biki'im's opinion doesn't count. When it says en sham biki'im, meaning even if you have biki'im, en sham biki'im, but it became a worthless in this case. When you read the Mishnah, the end of the Mishnah's lashon was v'im en sham biki'im ma'achilim oto al pi atzmo. The way Mor Bar Avasheh says that even if there is biki'im, it's en sham biki'im. There's no biki'im. Like what she says at the end. Kilomar en biki'utam klum. Their biki'ut is worthless. So it comes out, there's two ways to learn the end of the Mishnah. This is the key. The first way to learn the end of the Mishnah is how the chole is saying what? The chole is saying tzarich. I need to eat. To that the Mishnah says, well, en sham bikim, so long as there's not two doctors against him, it's just one doctor, you go with the patient, you go with the chole. But if you have two doctors against him, you go with the doctors. Mor Bar Avasheh says, nah, when he says sarichani, I don't care if you have 100 doctors on the other side, you go with the chole. How do you learn the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, en sham bikim. Yeah, you know how to learn that? I don't care how many bikim you have, en sham bikim. There's no bikim over here. No matter how many bikim you have, they're considered nothing against the opinion of the chole. So that's really the major nafkamina between the two opinions in a case where the patient says tzarich, and you have two doctors that say lo tzarich, they already have nafkamina. According to the first version, you go with the doctors, according to the Mor Bar Avasheh, you go with the patient because of the pasuk, lev yodeya. Marat nafsho. Comes the next Mishnah. Mi she'ahazo bulmus. A person on Kippur got seized with the sickness called bulmus. What is bulmus? Rashi says, Mi she'ahazo bulmus. Holi ha'ochez mahmat Re'abon. It comes from starvation, a person's hungry. Enav kehot. He starts to lose his eyesight. V'um misukan lamut. Already it's sekanat nefesh. He could die. Ushimar ito chozeret. When he gets his complexion back, biyadu ashen trape. Then you know already he's healed. So mi shachazob olmos ma'akhirin oto afilu devarim teme'im. You feed him even things that are tameh. Ad she'oru enav. Until he gets, so to speak, the light of his eyes back. Mi shenashcho kelev shote. A new point. You have somebody that got bitten by a wild, crazy dog. En ma'achidim oto mehasar kaved shelo. You do not feed the patient from the lobe of the kaved, the liver of the dog. It seems there was a certain medicinal refuah here to cure the patient by feeding it from its liver, meaning the infected dog itself. Tarat Gemara says it's not so tried and tested, and therefore we're not going to over isur to feed somebody taref in a case where the cure is really not confirmed. So therefore you cannot do this medicinal procedure. Rabbi Matyah ben Harash says no, it's okay. Rashi says why? So look at Rashi. Even though the doctors are customary to use these types of healings, it's not such a conclusive healing. He says, no, it works. This is conclusive, therefore you can feed it to him. And Matyah ben Harash said another case. Somebody that has a problem in his throat. And this is not a mere sore throat. The Rishonim talk about this as a certain type of disease that starts in the mouth, goes to the gums, eventually goes down to the throat and affects his whole body. It can be sakanat nefashot. Matilin lo sam betoch piv b'shabbat. So you're able to put this sam, this is a certain medicine, of course, in his mouth on Shabbat. Mepene shu safek nefashot. V'chot safek nefashot doche et Shabbat. When it comes to the laws of Shabbat, when it comes to life, human life takes precedence, therefore you're able to give them, even if it means you have to crush it and do all the melachot to get him that medicine, grinding it, which is the Yisur Torah, still you give it to him in order to cure him. Comes the Mishnah and continues. The Mishnah says another case. Mishnah fla'ala bapolet. A building fell on a person. A dilapidated building, mapolet fell. Okay? Now you don't know if there's people in the building or not. So the question is, now you want to go and make a recovery program in the rubble. Safek husham, safek enosham. You have a safek, is a human being there or not? High, safek mit. And even if he's there, you don't know, is he alive after that crumbling or not? Is he high or mit? Safek kuti, safek yisrael. You don't even know if he's Jewish. Safek kuti, safek yisrael. What's the deen? Mefakerin alav etagal. You still go even on a remote safek. You don't even know if anybody's there. You don't even know if they're still alive. You don't even know if he's Jewish. You go and you start to dig up the rubble in order to make recovery, to try to find a human being. Mitzau hai. If you find out that when you're there, there's somebody alive in there, certainly mifakhin. You continue to dig. You continue to take the to clear away the rubble. The imet. But once, if you find out that the person under there was dead, yenihu. The point is, you leave him. And the Rishonim explained the Hadush on that is, because normally by a fire, the law is that even if somebody is met in a fire, the law is you take him out. Why? Because if you're going to tell the guy to leave him there, he's going to put out the fire in order to save the body from becoming mutilated. So therefore, when it comes to a fire, there's a mit to take him out. But here, nothing's going to happen. He's in the rubble already. Nothing's going to happen to the body. Therefore, if he's mit, leave him. And we're not worried if you tell the guy, leave him, he's going to come in now, make an isur. So that's the case of the Mishnah to Gemara. We'll analyze all these cases in the proper place. Comes to Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin ayu yud'in she'iru enav. Oh, we're talking about someone that had bulmos. So we said what? You have to start feeding him, and when he sees he gets his eyesight back, so then already, when he gets his eyesight back, you know he is cured. So the Gemara, how do you know? What do you mean, how do you know? When he tells you, he can see. So the Midrashim understand this question, we're talking about it's dark. So therefore, nobody can see anyway. So therefore, in the dark, how are you supposed to know if the guy is still in critical condition or not? You can't tell me until he sees. He can't see. Nobody can see. It's pitch black. So that Gemara says, "Mishiyevchin bin tov lera." When his taste comes back to him, and he can taste the difference between good food and bad. Meaning when it comes to the taste. Which means you give him food. It seems somebody has bulimus, besides him losing his eyesight, he loses his sense of taste. And therefore, once already he starts to table, oh, this is a good tasting food, this is a bad tasting food, then you know already that his bulimus has gone away. The person has bulimus. Which means, if you only have, let's say, issurim in front of you to feed him. And the Mishnah said you could feed him even issurim because it's a pikuach nefesh. However, we try to feed him the less severe issur first. For example, tebel v'nevela. You have tebel. Tebel is untithed fruits. You have wheat, let's say. Right? You didn't take terumot and ma'asrot on it. That's called tebel. Or, and with it you have a nevela. Nevela, let's say, is an animal that was not slaughtered correctly. Which one do you give him? Ma'akirin oto nevela. You give him the nevela. Why? Because tevel, somebody eats tevel, it's punishable. Mitabi de shamayim. That's a very severe punishment. Nevela is malkut. So therefore, better to give him the less severe item. And you would argue, they're both isur. What's the difference? No, there's different levels of isur. Then we'll give him the nevela over the tevel. Okay? Tevel de shiviyait. You have tevel, same items, untithed the perot. What's fruit of Shemit after the time of Isur? That's fruit of the Shemitah that is forbidden to eat them. Now she says after Zman Bi'ur, after the time that you have to get rid of the fruit of the field, that's what you have now. So two Isurim in front of you. Of course, which one do you give them? Shemit. Because again, Shemit is only punishable by a Lo Ta'aseh. However, Tevel is punishable what? By Mitah Bideh Shamayim. Next case. Tevel Utruma. Oh. Now you have two items that both are punishable. Mita bideh shamayim. Tevel, he untied food mita bideh shamayim. And a non-Kohen that eats teruma also gets punished. Mita bideh shamayim. So the question is, which one do you give the patient? Tevel or teruma, which one do you give the fellow that has bulmus? Tanaei. Indeed, this is a machloket. Tanaei. Betanya, we have a braita. Machirin oto tebel. One opinion says, give him the tebel, ve'em machirin oto teruma. Ben tema omer teruma, ve'lo tebel. So you see, machloket. Tanaei, the Gemara is going to explain what the source, what the basis of this machloket is. Amar Rava, Rabba said, hecha de'efshar bechulin. Which means, if you can give the patient Chuli, meaning tithed fruit, dekula'ama lo peligi de metakeninan le umisafinan le. What does this mean? When you have tibet, okay, let's say you have a certain amount, you have a certain quantity. Now, the guy has bulmus, right? If you're able to take the tirumot and masrot out, and there'll be enough remaining food of chulin that'll cure the patient, then everybody agrees to do that. Again, you have to, let's say you have a pound of tevil, okay? But to cure this guy's bulmus, he doesn't need to eat the full pound. All he needs is, let's say, 3/4 of a pound, right? So that everybody agrees, what's the shayla? Take the terumot and masrot out, make it non-tevil, make it chulin, and give him to eat. That's a no-brainer, that's not a question. Also, what's the case we're talking? The question we're talking about over here is, Ki pelige bedelo efshar bechulin, where you can't separate and give him only chulin because he needs to eat the whole thing, which is he needs the full pound. Okay, so now what are you going to do? Mor savar tevel hamur. One says, oh, it's more stringent to feed him the tevel. Umor savar teruma hamura. And the other opinion says, no, it's more hamur to give him teruma, which is one opinion is going to say, you know what? Tevel is very hamurish. You know what to do? Separate teruma. Now you'll have chulin and teruma, and give him chulin and teruma. But don't give him tevel. Better to give him teruma than to give him tevel. The other opinion says, no, don't separate anything. Keep it all tevel, give him the tevel. Don't separate the tevel, the chulin and teruma. That's the case of the machloket over here. You understand the scenario we're talking. Comes to Gemara and says, what's the logic? To launch the bottom, more sabar tevil hamur about teruma has yala kohen. Tevel has no heter. Nobody can eat tevel. But Terumah at least has viability by a Kohen. So therefore Terumah is less Hamur. So that opinion says, separate your Terumah. Now you'll have Chulin plus Terumah and give it to the guy who has Bolmos. Umor Sabar Timurah Hamurah Aval Tevel Efshal Tikuneh. He looks at the other way. He says that Terumah is more Hamur. Why? Because Tevel you can fix. Tevel, you can make it untevel. So therefore, since terumah's hamura, keep it tevel. And therefore, give the guy that has bulmos the full pound of tevel. Come to Gemara and says, Ifshar becholin pshita. Now we go back to what the Gemara said originally. That everybody agrees that if you could, let's say, take out your terumot masot and give him the 3/4 pound of cholin, of course, everybody says do that. Gemara says, of course. What's the she'ela? Is there a question if I have an option to give him chulin? I need the Gemara to come and tell me that everybody agrees. To that the Gemara says, Lo tzericha b'Shabbat. You know what the case is talking? Well, you're separating it on Shabbat. Now we know that what? That really you're not allowed to separate Terumot and Ma'asrot on Shabbat because it's an Isud Rabbanan of Tikkun Mana. Meaning it's like you're fixing a utensil. Or the issue is over here, it's an Inyan of Mukseh. But the point is that the chidush is you can even take the terumot and the maasrot on Shabbat in order to give him cholin. The Gemara says, "Be Shabbat, dami peshita." Even on Shabbat, dami chidush over tiltum midrabbananu, which means the separating. This tiltum over means the separating of this terumot is midrabbanan. It's tikkun mana. So to save a guy from eating tevel deoraita. Of course, we make the isud rabbanan in order to give him cholin. What's the sheila? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, "Now, how come I ask you that? Be'asis she'eno nakuv derabbanan." We're talking about over here. Where did this food come from? From an asis she'eno nakuv, a flower pot that does not have a hole. Now the law is a flower pot that does not have a hole on the bottom. It's not connected to the ground at all. Anything that grows from that minat Torah is not chayav in terumot and ma'asot. Meaning minat Torah, it's not considered tevel. It's not chayav. The rabbis came along and said, what? It's considered tebel midrabanan. So the hadush of the Gemara is that what? We allow you to take the terumot and maasrot, which means where you're definitely going to go against an isur, midrabanan, in order to make it kosher midrabanan. Now, the chaura, you could argue and say, what do you mean? Why should I transgress isur midrabanan? Just give it to them the way it is. But don't eat that, the food's okay. But you don't have to take the terumot ma'asrot. So the logic is like this, because we're worried. If you're not going to let this guy take the terumot ma'asrot by the drabanan case, he might not do it by the deoraita case. They're going to come another case where now it's deoraita. He's going to say, oh, hey, last time I had the stuff, they told me just feed it to him in the tevel state. Hey, you didn't know that was drabanan last time. This is isur deoraita. So the order that he shouldn't come to make a mistake between tevel drabanan and tevel deoraita, and this is a very big hadush. The Gemara says, you know what? Transgress the Rabbanan. Take the terumot ma'asrot on Shabbat in order to fix the terumah mid Rabbanan, the food Rabbanan, feed it to him. Okay, so that's the case. So then when you go back to the Gemara, and it says, but if it's chulin, everybody agrees if it's chulin, feed it to him. That's not a simple case. Meaning it's not about a case on Shabbat. It's not about a case where it's a chatzit, she'eno nakuv. And therefore, mideoraita, it's really okay. Still, we let you go against the Rabbanan of mitaken mana to fix this tevel, to make it even kasher mid Rabbanan, yisirah, so you won't come to not do it in the case of tevel deoraita. And then you have the machloket, morsavat tevel chamur, morsavat terumah chamura. That's the understatement. And then you have the machloket, in a case where it's not able to take the terumot ma'asrot, so then the question is, what do? Do you feed him tevel straight, or do you say, no, separate the tevel and make a cholin and terumah? That's the machloket between the two rabbis. Is tevel more hamur, or is terumah more hamura? Comes the Gemara and says, lema tana'ei. This concept that you just told me, that when it comes to an isur derabanan, for example, taking off these terumot ma'asrot on Shabbat, so you tell me that what? For a gezerah, that it might come to Isu Torah, I let you transgress the Rabbanan. Right? Like in the case of the Basis She'eno Nakuv. Midoraita, that's okay. Correct? But could a guy eat these fruits over there? Of course. But still I say what? transgress the Rabbanan to keep it Rabbanan. This is a subject of Mahloket Tana'im. Yeah, this is the only rabbinical law. No, it's not a Deoraita. In this case over here, we're telling you keep, transgress the Rabbanan to keep this Rabbanan so you won't come to Isur Deoraita. So that's a Mahloket Tana'im. How do you know? The Tanya. Guy got bitten by a snake on Shabbat. Danger. Of course, you call a doctor from place to place. I mean, no matter where the doctor is, you call him. You bring his his expertise. They're able to rip a chicken, a hen. That was the nifuah. They used to put the open hen on the wound. That was the cure. They go zezin lo et the kirishin. You go to the fields and you let them pull out leeks from the field. It seems that was also part of the refuah. Kirishin is leeks. Umachilinoto. And you let them, you feed them the leeks. The en sarik la'asir. You don't have to take ma'asir. Normally, the halakha is, you have vegetables, you have to take ma'asir. Now, the rabbi says, no, no, in this case over here, it's Shabbat, just pull the leeks out of the ground. I mean, you're doing yisud oraita. You're pulling the leeks out of the ground. Doesn't matter. Pikuach nefesh. When it comes to the ma'asir, leave it. Don't do the ma'asir. Divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, lo yochal hachi asir. He says, nothing doing. You cannot feed it to him until you take ma'asir. Which means now, let's analyze ourselves. Taking ma'asir on vegetables is only isud rabbanan. Minat Torah, you only have to take ma'asir on dagan. Dagan is a grain. So you see over here, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, what is he saying? That even though Minat Torah, it's okay. We're going to let you transgress the Rabbanan of Tikkun Mana, of taking Ma'asir. What's the logic? Because maybe you're going to come 1 year with the same case and it's going to be Dagan. And in that case, it's going to be Yisur Deoraita. So you see Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the opinion that we said above, that what? That will make you take the ma'aseh, terumah ma'asot from the asin she'enu nakuv, gezerah, atu deoraita. And the Rabbi that says, no, don't do it. The Rabbi says what? Just give it to him without. Obviously, he does not make such a gezerah. So we consider this concept is actually machlok et tanaim Rabbi and Rabbi Zabri Shimon. So Gevra says, Nema Rabbi Zabri Shimoni, velo Rabbi. Let us say that the above opinion about the asin she'enu nakuv is Rabbi Zabri Shimon and not Rabbi. Gemara says, no, I feel the Rabbi. I can tell you by our case, by the Shabbat case of the Atzit Sheinu Nakuv, even Rabbi will tell you, take your terumot and ma'asrot. Why? Ad kano kamar biyatam ilanian ma'asir yarag de rabbanan. Abad ma'asir dagan de tebel de oraitau afilu Rabbi mode de isharit me ba'atzit Sheinu Nakuv. Atit me mechal ba'atzit Sheinu Nakuv. We can make a headuk like this. This case is talking about vegetables. It's a leek. Rabbi says, in this case, you know what? Feed it to him. Don't take it to the Rabbat Masur. What are you worried? The leek species is the Rabbanan. To make a gezerah that he might confuse a leek with a grain that's the oraita, I don't make such a far-fetched gezerah. Therefore, in this case, since the oraita, it's okay, the leek, feed it to him. In the case of the grain, he'll agree. Take it to the Mot Masrot. Now go to our case of Shabbat. You have the Atzit Sheinu Nakuv. What's growing in the Atzit Sheinu Nakuv? Let's say grain. Oh, grain from an Atzit Sheinu Nakuv is the Rabbanan. But a grain is the species of the Oraita. So in the species of the Oraita, you can hear to say, you're confused between, I mean, it's the same species, right? So therefore, Rabbi will say, hey, if I mean, let this guy say, you know what? Feed it to him this year, don't take it to the Mot Masrot. Feed him the table. Because feed him the Torah, it's okay. Next year, what's going to happen? He's going to have this grain again. He's not going to realize that this is really Tevel de Oraita, and he's going to come to confuse. So even the Rabbi can agree by the Asi Sheinu Nakuv case, because by grains to grains, you can make a gezerah, but from a vegetable to a grain, that's already far-fetched. But going to Kune Alma, comes to give us a title, but now we have a Braita. Bulmos. Now we're going to give the cure for bulmos. A person got bulmos, what do you feed him? You feed him honey. The chol mine metika or sweets. Shadevash, the chol mine metika, because honey or any type of sweets, me'irin, me'or, enav, shel adam. it brings a person's vision back to him. Even though we don't have an explicit proof to this principle, we have a remez, we have a hint to this concept. Now, the backdrop of this following pasuk was that when David, Shaul HaMelech declared a fast, a public fast for the Jewish people before they were going out to one of their wars. His son, Yonatan, did not hear that his father declared a fast, and he ate. So the pasuk says, Yonatan says, Reuna ki oru enai. Yonatan says, look, my eyes are enlightened. Because I had some honey. So you see what? You see that when a person eats honey, he gives it or enayim, he gives his eyesight back. What Yonatan was trying to say was that really when we're going to war, we should have eaten because we have more strength when we eat. Look at me, I ate dvash and I got my eyesight. So why did the Gemara say there's no proof? Seemingly this is a very good proof. Why does the Gemara say there's no proof that it's just a zecher? This is a good proof. Gemara said, "Atam la bulmus ahazeh." Because Yonatan did not have bulmos. He was just saying he ate honey and his eyes were, his vision was better. We're looking for a proof if somebody has bulmos to give him devas. So therefore it's not an explicit proof, but you just need the concept. When do we say that the honey or the sweets are beneficial for someone that has bulmos? That's only after you fed him. Got to give him regular food. Then for dessert you give him devash and that stuff. But if you give it them before you give him regular food, migrar garir. If anything, it's only going to cause his appetite to become stronger. You're going to bring on more hunger. How do we know that? Dichtiv. Vayimseu ish misri basadeh. Says in one of David's wars, they found an ish misri in the field. Vayikoto, says he was famished, he was starving. They brought him el David. Vayitinu lo lechem, they gave him bread. Vayochal, and he ate. Vayashkuhu mayim. Then they gave him water. Then vayitenu lo pela devela. Then they gave him a devela, a date, ushnet simukim and raisins. Vayochal and he ate. Vatashev ruho elav. And then his spirit came back to him. Kilo akal lechem velo shata mayim shelosha yamim veshlosha lelot. So obviously it was a guy that had bulmos, right? He was 3 days, 3 nights. He didn't eat. They found him. So what did they do? What was the procedure how they cured him? First they gave him food. Only after they gave him real food, then they followed it up by dvash, by the dates, which is the sweets. And then what does it say? Then it says already his spirit came back to him. So therefore we learn the procedure is food followed by these sweets. Amar Avta Manav Shmuel. Mishazo bulmos, a person has bulmos, machirin oto aliyah bedvash. His opinion is you give him the aliyah, the tail of the sheep, which is the fatty meat of the sheep, the aliyah bedvash with honey. Rabuna bered Rav Yoshua Amar, av solet nikiyah bedvash. Even solet nikiyah, which means fine, clean flour with honey. Rav Papa Amar, afilu kimhayda sa'aleh bedvash. Even if you give him barley flour with honey, that's also helpful. Amar Yochanan, pamachat achazani bulmos. One time he had bulmos. I went to the fig tree and I ate from the eastern side of the tree. Why did he eat from the eastern side of the tree? Because he held that the eastern side of the tree, the fruits are the most sweet. Because there the morning sun shines on that side of the tree, and the morning sun is strongest. And the Rashash explains because there's really no wind in the morning coming from the east, so the sun beats on the food, gives it a sweetness. And what happens? V'kiyamti b'atzmai, I fulfilled on myself the pasuk ha'chokhmah t'chayeh ba'aleha. When a person has wisdom, it brings life to the ones that own wisdom. I mean, because I knew this trick of eating from the east side of the tree, because the fruits on the east side are the most sweet, it saved my life. Betani Rab Yosef, I don't say it on tam teena. Guy wants to taste a sweet fig. Yifne le mizraha. Go to the eastern side of the tree where the sun beats on it in the morning. Shneimar umimeged tevuot shamish. Umimeged is like from the shul megadim. Megadim is like sweet, good foods. Tevuot of the, let's say, of the, you want to eat the sweetest of the wheat. Where do you go? Shamish, to where the sun is. The sun is when the sun rises in the morning on the east side. Rabbi Yosef avikaze borcha. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef were walking on the road. Ahaze bulmos Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda had bulmos. He got bulmos. Kapche le roe. So he went and he took from the shepherd his food. The shepherd was there with them. He had some bread. He was starving. He was going to die. So the Yehuda went to the shepherd and grabbed the food of the shepherd. Some say the word kapem means he cleaned them out. He cleaned them out of all his food and he ate it. Okay. Amar de Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "Kapata taroe. You cleaned out the roe. You took all his food." Kibatu lemata. When they got to the city, Ahaze bulmus Rabbi Yosef. This time Rabbi Yosef got bulmus. Aderu balge vitzae. So the whole town brought out. They surrounded him with balge is jars and sa'e is platters. Meaning, the whole town came out with platters and jars of food for the Yosef. Abba the Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda tells him, Ani kapati taroe. I cleaned out one shepherd. Ataki pata ta'ir kula. You cleaned out the whole city. Which means, according to the halakha, for sure, Rabbi Yehuda was allowed to do what he did, because he held that to save your life, you're allowed to go even steal and take food that doesn't belong to you, so long as you pay it back. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, he did what he did. Rabbi Yehuda argued and said, what are you doing? You took all the food of the shepherds. And it happened to him. Look at you, you ended up taking the whole food from the city. Vetu, furthermore, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Ukazeh Borcha. The three rabbis were walking on the road. Rabbi Meir, Avayat Deik Mishma. Rabbi Meir had a principle. He would hear a person's name and he would analyze the person's name. The name of a person would tell a lot about his character to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Avayat Deik Mishma. Those rabbis, they weren't so careful about the names of a person. They weren't analyzing the names. They got to a certain place, all the rabbis. Ba'u ushpiza. They needed a place to stay, a host. Yavu lehu. So there was a certain host, he gave him a place to stay. Amru lo mashemach. They asked the balabayit, what's your name? Amar lehu Kidor. My name is Kidor. Amar Rabbi Meir says, Shma'mina Adam Rasha'hu. Says, this guy over here must be a Rasha'. Why? Shneimar Kidor. Tahpuchot hema. It is a generation of tahpuchot, of people that are turning, which means they turn and churn the lies, which means they make opposites. They say the truth, they turn them into lies. So this guy's a liar, he's a rasha. Can't trust him. In any event, what happened? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Ashlimu de kisayu. It was Erev Shabbat. They needed a place to stay. They had their wallets with them. So they went to Kidor and they said, listen, here's our wallets, you watch it for us until after Shabbat. Rabbi Meir lo ashlim nekiseh. Rabbi Meir didn't trust him. He didn't give him his wallet. Where did he hide it? Azal utve bekivre de Abu. He went and he hid it at the grave of the father of this guy, the father of Kidor. He went to the cemetery, put it on the grave of Kidor's father. Et hazele behelme. Kidor's father came to him in a dream on Friday night, and he told him, "Ta Shakil Kisa de Manach Aresha Dahu Gabra, come and get the wallet that's resting on my head," which is his father in a dream tipped off his son to come and steal the wallet that's in the cemetery. The Mahar, the next day, Kidor wakes up Shabbat. Amar Lehu, he tells the rabbis, "Hachi et Hazili behalmai." You know, I had a very strange dream last night. My father came to me, told me there's a wallet by my by his gravesite. Come and get it. Amri le, so they tell him, especially to be Meir, Helma de Beshimshe led be mamasha. Don't pay attention. Friday night dreams, they're insignificant. Which means because it's a day of rest, your mind is wandering. We don't pay attention to Friday night dreams. Meanwhile, Rabbi Meir knew that it was the truth. So what did he do? Azal Rabbi Meir went to the cemetery. Venatre kuli yoma. He stood there to protect his wallet the whole Shabbat. Daite. And then after Shabbat, he brought it. The Mahar, the next day, after Shabbat was over, Amru lo. So now the other rabbis tell Kidor, Havlan Kisan. All right, give us back our money, give us back our wallets. Amru de Amalehu, lo ayu devarim me'olam. What wallets? Never happened. I don't have anything. Never happened. Amalu Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, Amai lo daikitu bishma. Wouldn't you listen to me? Why weren't you careful to analyze his name? Amru le amaylo amartlan mor, which means how come you didn't tell us? Which means you should have warned us. Amarlu imar damli ana hashashat. Listen, when I go after the names, it's only a suspicion. Ezuke mi amre. It's not a hazakah, which means listen, I can't clearly say that the guy is a crook. I'm careful in the names. To me, I hear a bad name, I'm suspicious, but I can't go now and tell people that they can't trust the guy. So now they have to figure out how they're going to get their money back. So they made a ruse. Mashku, they brought the owner, Kidor, ve'ailu lahanuta, and they brought him to a place, the Mefashi strain, a bar, to drink. They figured they'll get him drunk. In his drunkard state, he'll divulge where the money is. Well, they didn't get him drunk. But it worked out for them in a different scenario. What happened? Hazu talfahe asfame. They saw that there was lentils on his beard. So they assumed he must have just came from a meal that they had, lentils. So what did they do? Azlu, they went to his house, where his wife was. V'yahavu simana lidibitu. They gave a sign to his wife, meaning they said, your husband sent us here to pick up our wallets, and he gave us a sign so you'll know that we're telling the truth. You had lentils for dinner. So she heard, how do they know? Oh, it must be that Kidon must have told them. Vishaklu the Kisayu. And she gave them the wallets, and they took the wallets. The Aitu, and they brought it to him. They told Kidon, see, we got our wallets back. He was angry. Azal iu vekatleli itete. He went and he killed his wife. Hainu detanya. This is what we have in the Braita. Braita says the following: Ma'im rishonim hechilo basar chazir, ma'im acharonim hargu et nefesh. There's two stories. Ma'im acharonim caused somebody to die. That's the story we just read. Meaning, if this guy Kidor would have followed the halakha to make ma'im acharonim, what does a person do after he eats? Usually, he washes his hands. And as she says, after he washes his hands, usually he, you know, he cleans his face. Therefore, if he would have followed the halakha ma'im acharonim, he would have saved somebody's life. Ma'im acharonim argu et nefesh. Ma'im rishonim echilo basar hazir. What was the case? So that she tells the story. There was a certain fellow that had a place of where he dispensed meat. He sold kosher meat and non-kosher meat. It seems that in the time, the Goyim did not allow to sell kosher meat. So he would, you know, have kosher meat in his stock, but he did it, you know, clandestinely. Now, how would he know which customer to give what? So if he would see the customer make nitilat yadayim before he ate, this guy's Jewish, you give him kosher meat. If he didn't see him make nitilat yadayim, so he said, this guy's not Jewish, he would give him basar hazir. As she says, the basar hazir was cooked. So what happened was, a guy came in, Jewish, he didn't make the Tilat Shadayim, the Mayim Rishonim, he fed him Hazir. Now when you're looking at it, you can't tell, it's cooked, meat is meat. After he ate it, he said, hey, what was this meat over here? What do you mean? Basar Hazir, I'm Jewish. You're Jewish, how come you didn't make Mayim Rishonim? So if it says Mayim Rishonim, because he didn't do it, it caused him to eat Basar Hazir. Ul besof, havud hakeh b'shma. But eventually these rabbis themselves adopted the opinion of Rabbi Meir to start analyzing a person's name. Why? They got to a certain house, to a certain house, Dishme, his name was Bala. Lo ailu legabe. They didn't want to stay by the guy's house. Why? This guy must be a Rasha. Dichtiv ve'amar Ava Omar Labala Neufim. And I said to the one that is aged from adultery. Bala means to be worn out. So the word bala is used in a pasuk that you have a person that becomes aged and worn out. Why? Because of excessive adultery. So they said, oh, this guy must be a Rasha over here. His name is Bala. That word has been written in a pasuk of adultery. Therefore they did not enter it. Baruch Anu Ale Olam. Amen. Amen.